or an extension of Calvary Light Ministries. That's really our title, our entity is Calvary Light Ministries Incorporated. And we have Calvary Light House Church, we have Calvary Light Christian Academy, and any other extension from Calvary Light Ministries. Praise the Lord. And truly the Lord has blessed. I was talking with one of the grandparents of one of our students and have known him for quite a while, and actually their children were in our school also in days gone by. And he was sitting there and we were talking, and he said, well, he said, you know, it's really quite something. He said, you had a whole lot of support when you started this work, didn't you? Of course, he kind of knows a little bit of the history about it. He said, there was all kinds of people giving you advice of how you ought to do it, and whether you shouldn't do it or you should do it. He said, but it's evident you did it, and God blessed it. Hallelujah. Because here you sit on the main street of Chelsea, Oklahoma, across from the post office. You know how many post office boxes are over there? Do you realize how many people then go by this church? Wow. Now, when we was over there on 4th Street, you only went by there if you went on purpose. Right here, folks go by here all the time. So, this is a prelude. It is my desire to put a big sign on the corner of this building, a neon sign, a message sign, a gigantic monitor where we can put anything that we want to put on there as far as scriptures. If we want, we can take our Facebook Live and put it outside. That is my desire. I would like to do that. That's only going to cost $3,000, $4,000. But I would like to see that done. Do you realize how many people come to this intersection over here, either going that way or that way, and that way or that way? Wow. Glory. Anyway, moving on here. Psalm 36. God's good. God's good. Psalm 36, beginning at verse number 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. So if we stopped right there, that's pretty dismal. That's pretty hopeless. That's like, my. That's locked in, never more to escape. But it doesn't stop there. Praise God. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Praise God. You can be seated again tonight. I'm like Brother Timmy. I just love the Word of God. Just the reality here's a psalm of David. And Sister Lindsay's been talking about David and his singing and his musical instruments. She exhorted on it a little bit this morning. I'm sure she's probably going to end up teaching on it if I don't do it first. Praise the Lord. But it's just the reality, you know, God inhabits the praise and the worship of the children of Israel is what the scripture says. But that gives us that understanding of his people. Hallelujah. And we are in the New Testament. We are in the dispensation of grace. And right now, the church is his bride. I can't think of anybody that would be more his people than his bride. Hallelujah. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And what I want to preach about tonight, the title of this message, is the God of Abundance. Think about that just a little bit. I mean, when you think of God, do you think of abundance? Think of God. I trust you think of holiness. I trust you think of love. I trust you think of kindness. I trust you think of mercy. I trust you think of grace. I trust you think of forgiveness. But do you ever think of abundance? An abundance of mercy. An abundance of grace. Woo, hallelujah. More than you'll ever need. Hallelujah. God has the supply. And so as we read this psalm here, David is reflecting, he's looking out, and he's contrasting the difference between the wicked. And the wicked are bound in their transgression. It's in their heart. There's no fear. In other words, he's looking at it through his eyes, and he's looking at what goes on, and he perceives, you know, if you stop and think about this and really start reading this, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes. See, that's self-deception. His iniquity, until his iniquity be found to be hateful, this is where misery comes forth. You can only build yourself up so much when you're doing wrong, of trying to justify how it's okay and you're okay and everything's all right. But eventually it's going to become to the place where you get downright hateful. And you get hateful because you are so miserable about what you really are. See, that's what David's talking about. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have. Woo! The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. In other words, he has no good thing to say. All he can do is complain and gripe and try to justify and make it look like I'm happy. I got joy. I got peace. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good, and abhorreth not evil. So evil has greater dominion upon the wicked. But then he says, thy mercy, O Lord. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Amen. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, and thy judgments are a great deep. Hallelujah. And I'm reminded, we sing a song from time to time, his love is higher than the mountains. It's deeper than the sea. Hallelujah. That love of Jesus, hallelujah, that lives inside of me. Thou preservest man and beast. So in other words, God, you're in control. God, you created everything. God, you sustain everything. And how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust underneath or under the shadow of thy wings. Where do we run? Where could I go but to the Lord? Hallelujah. Knowing and understanding that He is the one that will preserve me. He is the one that will keep me. He is the one that will help me. He is the one that will instruct me. He is the one that will transform me. I don't know whether you're getting the picture or not. Praise God. I'm trying to paint it. Hallelujah. Just as big. Hallelujah. About how big our God is and how well able He is to take care of us in our walk with Him. I hesitate to make this illustration, but sometimes as children of God, we become like teenagers. When teenagers hit them teen years, because they're getting bigger, they're getting stronger. But they don't realize that just because you're bigger, just because you're stronger, doesn't mean you're wiser. And so they start saying, because I'm bigger, because I'm stronger, because my mind is developing. And you know, most 18-year-olds say, well, you know, I'm an adult now. I don't know if I can say that yet or not. I've gotten bigger. I've got some gray hair here. I'm hoping wisdom has prevailed instead of distress. Praise the Lord. But we get like teenagers and we get a little heady, a little high-minded, a little like we've got it all under control and we've got it all figured out, and we forget that all of our substance comes from Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've been there before. You know, I'm in my 39th, going on 40th year of salvation. And, I, way back there, I've been that in those teenage years of my Christianity and trying to grow and trying to learn, and then thinking you learned something, then you got a hold of something, only to find out there's a whole lot more to get a hold of to keep you from falling and to keep you to running and keep you to fighting. Hallelujah. And that's why God's a God of an abundance, because we need it abundantly. I'm a needy person. Praise God. I need that help from above. I need that strength from above. He is the fountain of life. And I like this in verse 9. In thy light shall we see light. And that's what these altars are all about. That's what the presence of God is all about. Hallelujah. When that glory of God comes down and that power of God begins to move upon our lives, that light from heaven, that illumination from God, in the midst of God's presence and His power falling, we see a whole lot clearer then. Anybody ever got up from that altar of prayer with an attitude adjustment? Praise the Lord. How many need one tonight? Woo! Glory. Nobody raised their hand. Wow. I guess it's just me then. Well, praise God. I'll get my help. Glory to God. And so we see then, in thy light we shall see light. We're never going to be able to understand nor figure out God until we are in His presence and in His Word. Without the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, we will know nothing about God, and we will be very, very weak. Amen. But see, God's an abundant God, and the God of abundance, and He has what we need. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee. How many want the loving kindness of God? How many want the righteousness of God and thy righteousness to the upright in hearts? And here's a factor. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Pride goeth before. Pride goeth before the. So where's victory found in there? Oh, there is victory found in there. Don't have pride. That's it right there. Very good, Sister Pepper. You got the prize. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. The victory's in there to the reality of I will believe it and not allow pride to come near my heart, near my mind, near my life. And if pride does not enter in, guess what? I will not fall. Hallelujah. Because pride cometh before the fall. What is a form of pride? Thinking I can handle it. Thinking I can figure it out. Thinking I've got control of this situation. If you've got control of the situation, it's going to fail. Ooh. But if God's got control of the situation, it will become victory. Oh, think about that for a minute. I want you to think about that for a minute. How many Mr. and Mrs. Fix-Its do we have in here? Uh-huh. And yes, tell me, how many times have you really fixed any spiritual problem besides your own? Very good. Because the only spiritual problems you can fix are yours. And the only way that's going to happen is when you follow God and give God control of you. Praise God. When you give God control of you, then He will help you help others. Notice you will just help them. You won't fix them. Because only God can fix things. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. He's the God of abundance, glory. So let not the foot of pride come against me. And let not the hand of the wicked remove me. This bounces back to who told you that? Who told you couldn't overcome? Who told you couldn't make it? Who told you God wouldn't forgive you? Who told you that? Do you realize that goes right back to the Garden of Eden? When God said, who told you that? Yeah, well, the woman. Who told you that? The serpent. Who told you that? The devil. Oh, wow. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. In other words, Lord, help me not to listen to those that would try to deter me from serving my God. Hallelujah. Help me not to listen to Facebook. Praise God. Glory. Help me not to listen to social media. Oh, help me not to listen to worldly Christians. Hello. Whoa. Glory. Hallelujah. Help me not listen to anyone that is not living for Jesus with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, all their mind. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. In other words, that's what's going to lead to failure, is pride and listening to the wrong voices. Oh my, that's why I've got to learn to listen to my God. I've got to realize God is able. God is able. So, you and I have got to learn not to limit God. Because He's the God of abundance. We've got to learn to trust Him. After all, He created all things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that mean anything to us? He created all things. The air that I breathe, He created that for us. Hallelujah. The sun that comes up in the morning, He created that for us. Hallelujah. He created it for His pleasure, but it's His pleasure to let it shine upon us. Oh, praise God. He's created all things. He spoke it into existence. Glory. You tell me He can't help you. You tell me He can't help me. Woo! He can do all things, and He will do it well. See, that's what trusting Him is all about. Just believing and acknowledging, God, You know way more about me than I know about me. So help me to learn to listen to You talk about me. Woo! So that I can become more like you. Praise God. He's an abundant God. Glory. Hallelujah. So I've got to learn to trust him. Well, you know, that's humility is what that is. And we don't want the foot of pride. We want humility. We want to trust God. And we want to follow after him. Praise the Lord. Because that's how we're going to know him. I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. You see, I mean, whoa, wow. Glory, glory. I mean, you know, if I give something to his commitment, he's going to keep it. He's going to guard it. He's going to protect it. Unless I take it back. Woo. Glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I've got to get this in my head. I've got to get this in my understanding. He is able to keep that which I commit to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, whether you've committed it in prayer, whether you physically committed it to him, I mean, just whatever it is, whatever you commit unto the Lord, basically he's talking about all of your life, spirit, soul, and body, committed unto God. Woo, consecrated unto God, dedicated unto God. We don't hear much preaching about that most places anymore, do you? Why? Because that requires effort. That requires self-denial. That requires self-control. Woo! The very thing that marks a Christian's life, nobody wants to hear about it anymore. Oh, my. In John 10 and 10, how many's ever heard John 10 and 10? Anybody in here ever heard John 10 and 10? What's John 10 and 10 say? There you go. There you go. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. So who's the thief? The devil is the thief. The adversary, the enemy of our soul. He comes not to help, not to encourage, not to strengthen, but he comes to steal. Oh, what's he wanting to steal? Well, he's wanting to steal that which I've committed. How's he going to steal that? By convincing me, I'm not sure I want to do that. Oh, did you ever stop and think, how in the world did Eve not catch on to the device of the enemy? When she had walked with God, fellowship with God, and knew exactly what God had told her. Wow. And so we think it's strange sometimes as pastors, ministers, that people don't do what God tells them to do. Eve didn't get it right. From the very beginning, mankind can't get it right. That's why we've got to learn to put our trust in him and put our confidence in him, because we'll get it wrong, just like Eve did, just like Adam did. You know, why would she not do what God? Because the enemy came saying, who told you that? Whoa! Who told you you had to live holy? Who told you you had to live righteous? Who told you that? Well, God just don't want you to have all the things that you could really have. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it, putting it in Oklahoma lingo here. Because that's what he does. The enemy comes and says, oh, but you're missing out. Oh, if you serve God, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and why would you want to do that? And why would you want to do that? Because it's not really pleasing to God. Why would you want to do that? Ah, that lust of the flesh, that lust of the eyes, that pride of life. That's exactly what the enemy was promoting to Eve. There's nothing new under the sun, according to Solomon, according to God's word. That means the temptation is still the same as it's always been. But there is something different now. Ooh, hallelujah. There's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and there's power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And there's power in the Holy Ghost of God. And so there's power available now to us, His created beings. Glory to God. So that now we can be partakers of that divine nature. Woo, power from on high. Hallelujah. Not just so we can run and jump and dance. That's just joy. Hallelujah. But power to fight the fight. Power to run the race. Power to defend the gospel. Power to live holy. Power to live right. God. Let's preach on. We've only got halfway through verse number 10. The thief cometh to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life. See, that's what Jesus wants to bring into us. Life. Spiritual life. Godly life. Righteous life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, hallelujah. There's a song we sing, I just started living. Got me a brand new life. Praise God. Glory. I just started living. How many just started living this morning? Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, no, I started living 40 years ago. Oh, my, then you may not have a whole lot of life left. I just started living. Yeah. Got me a brand new life. When did you get it, Brother Pepper? I got it this morning. Hallelujah. In the house of God. Glory. A time of refreshing. A time of renewal. A time of brand new commitment. Hallelujah. A time of turning away from lukewarmness. And pursuing that first love. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, see, that's why it's an abundant life. Hallelujah. Because it never grows old. Woo! This body may grow old, but that spiritual life doesn't grow old. Woo! It's eternal, you know. Praise God. It's eternal. Glory. So it's an abundant life that Jesus Christ can bring. That's why the enemy wants to steal. He can't stand it. And you live victoriously. To destroy you because he wanted to be God. Biggest temper tantrum you've ever seen was the devil. He wanted to exalt himself in God's place. That's what pride does in human life. It exalts us and puts us in God's place. That's why pride goes before the fall, because without God, who can? So, in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, and God is able to make all grace abound for you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That abundant grace. Wow. So, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And you and you and you and you and you and you and me too. Praise God. All grace. Now tell me, what can we not accomplish with that much grace coming our way? Wow. Hallelujah. Grace. I mean, just looking down upon us, realizing our shortcomings, realizing where we're lacking, but yet he says, you can make it, you can change, you can overcome. Come on up a little higher. Hallelujah. Because he has all sufficiency in all things. Woo, hallelujah. So that we can have all sufficiency in all things. And you and I may abound in every good work. So where's the source of all this coming from? Well, it's coming from our abundant God. So then this makes me begin to wonder, then if this is the source, then, you know, I really need to press myself in my relationship with God. So that I can tap into all this grace. But we've got a problem in these last days, in these times before the coming of the Lord, because there have been so many out there on Facebook and on the airwaves that have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And so we think we can live in lasciviousness and we're abounding in grace. No, we're abounding in sin. Oh my. But praise God, Romans 5:20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. So there is abundance of sin because they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They don't even understand what grace is about. They think grace means I can live any way I want to live and God will just overlook it. That's what it is to turn grace into lasciviousness. But how many realize grace, when it comes on the scene, it immediately reveals who I really am? Grace of God hath appeared unto all, teaching us. Oh, it reveals to us about our ungodliness, our unrighteousness, our evil ways, and what we really act like. Woo, that's grace. That's grace. But remember, how is that grace? That just makes me feel miserable. Oh, that's grace. That's grace, because you don't want to feel good in sin. Oh no, you want to feel miserable in sin, because that's grace, God's grace bringing you out of it. Hallelujah. To help you realize you do not have to live in sin, because His grace is there to forgive you when you ask, and cleanse you and give you a new creature and a brand new start. Hallelujah. So you can just start living right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so here we find that then grace is there for you and I to get victory over sin, forgiveness over sin. The law's there that we can see how sinful we are. Trevor's been teaching on that moral law of God. What is that? That's to show us how bad we can be or how bad we are. It shows us where we're lacking so we can pick up the slack. Oh, walk with God in a greater measure, in a greater way, in an abundant way. Have an abundant life. This mentality, hang on with me, this mentality of trying to get by with just as little as I can and still go to heaven is not going to work. Number one, that's not the Spirit of Christ. Number two, that's not a new creature in Christ. Number three, that's not in the vocabulary of God's word of righteousness. That's just downright laziness on the human level. Wanting to do as little as possible and still get a benefit from it. No. We are fighters, soldiers. Hallelujah. Marching on. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is, in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's an abundance of power. The power that worketh in us. In other words, God can only do as much as we will allow him to do. Because the power that worketh in us is the Holy Ghost. And you can limit the Holy Ghost. You realize the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. What is that? That's your limiter. You know Holy Ghost is moving and he's speaking to you that's quenching the Spirit. That's limiting the Spirit. That's not an abundance of power. Power only comes when we say yes. Woo! And we then be obedient and we follow and do. Hallelujah. And so he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But if you stop right there, you might think that you can do anything and everything and still have that exceeding abundant. But you can't. Because it's only according to the power that's working in us. How much we have yielded ourselves to God and given ourselves to God. A lot of times people say, why? Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet? And then those that are baptized in the Holy Ghost, why can I not get over this one thing? Well, have you surrendered it wholly to God and let the Holy Ghost replace it with something of the Lord? See, it's according to the power that worketh in us. So that means it's according to how much we surrender of our lives. Because I don't know about you, but I have found in the last going on 40 years that there are times we have surrendered it all until we get up on Monday morning, we find something we haven't surrendered yet. Woo! Somebody pushes that button we thought we had turned off. Woo! Glory to God. I got the victory. I've got the shout. That was Sunday night service. Hallelujah. Monday morning, here comes the enemy pushing as many buttons as he can find that you forgot to put under the blood. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm talking from experience. Glory. So it's according to the power that worketh in us. So that means we want to limit God by not following through with what God has done in our lives. The power of God moved in this sanctuary Tuesday night in my life. There were great victories wrought. That victory is going to stay a victory according to the power that worketh in us. That we keep alive, that we keep working. You know, if you don't put any gasoline in your vehicle, you know, you can have a full tank, but if you never put any more in, depends on what vehicle you drive. You know, if it's Brother Robert's truck, you're going to go about 100 miles. And that's 30 gallon gas. I'm about right. I'm close. I mean, you put it in my Toyota, and you're going to go 300 miles, but at the end of that 300 miles, it's going to go and if you're one of those individuals, yep, I got filled with the Holy Ghost now 40 years ago, and you run out of gas a long time ago. My. Because if I tried to depend on 40 years ago baptism in the Holy Ghost, I can't even imagine that. I need a fresh infilling every day. Hallelujah. I mean, I just want to make sure I'm walking in the power that I have, that abundance of power that He wants to give. It's all right there, and it's all there to help you and I. But you and I are the ones that have to tap into the power, that have to put the nozzle in the tank, if you will, to get it filled up fresh and anew so that we can go strong. I don't know if it's just my car or everybody's vehicle. It seems like when it gets down to about a quarter of a tank, you don't have near as much power. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a figment of my imagination, so I try to keep it full. I try to keep it full because I want the best performance out of the thing I can get. That's not cheap. So, if I want performance in my life, full of Holy Ghost. We'll have to be walking in the Spirit of God. I'm going to have that abundance of power working. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Tell me, what is it that you and I need in life that God doesn't have? The Bible says He owns the cattle on a thousand. That's why I like steak. He's God. He just owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I mean, He's got everything. He can supply all. You realize, you understand, this is all a matter of faith in our God. A matter in understanding that He's the God of abundance. In other words, He doesn't do things just chintzy. You know? I mean, you know, when we first started out with this church, you know, we had to cut corners and budget and, you know, just, you know, take things that, you know, weren't just real expensive but make them look sharp. Well, praise God. Frugal. That's a good word for it. Hallelujah. Glory. God's a God of abundance. if I'm lacking, it's not because of God. Because God has everything I need. If I'm lacking, it's because I've been slacking. Oh, man, there's one of Brother Pepper's quotes. Lord, somebody, I'm sure, has said that way before. Wow, that was just page one. Y'all ready for page two? He's God, the God of abundance. 2 Peter, chapter 1. It's fixing to get good, so hang on. Praise the Lord. Maybe we need a seat. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hold on. I'll sit down. You all stand. Yeah, see, we'll switch places. Praise God. Woo. Nope, I'm not going to sit down. I just can't. Praise God. Let's lift our hands. Let's give praise to our God. Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for the scriptures that we've already read and that we've already heard. Lord God, of your abundant supply, and you're the God of abundance. Oh, Lord God, you're wanting to do great and mighty things in your people and your children. Lord, in our lives. Hallelujah. And so we ask you, Lord God, to continue the work that you have begun in us. Grant us that attentiveness, Lord God, that we might grow in your grace and in that power that there is such an abundant supply of. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. You can be seated again if you like. You can stand while I preach. That's fine. It will not intimidate me at all. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding, wow, I just love this word, exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah, that God of abundance. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now see, the flesh, that old man, is what will derail me. I must continue being a partaker of the divine nature. And beside this, wow, do you realize what he just said? He just said, you've got everything you're going to need. God is going to supply it. Jesus Christ has provided it. I mean, exceeding great promises. And besides all that, glory, hallelujah, it's a God of abundance, hallelujah. And beside all that, besides this, give all diligence. That takes work, my friend, hallelujah. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. Interesting. I looked this word up in the Greek. Not that I'm a Greek scholar, but I just like to see how many other synonyms there are for this word that they translated virtue. And as you look that up in Strong's Concordance, you find that its key meaning is manliness. Thus, in parentheses, it says valor, like a soldier, if you will. It means excellence and also praise. Woo! The Greek word is arete. Hallelujah. So now that you're saved, add to that saving faith valor. Be a soldier. Step up to an excellent life. Make sure it's a life filled with praise. Praise to God. Hallelujah. So now I'm saved. I've got to realize I've got to fight for what I've got. I've got to become a man or woman of valor. Glory. I don't know if you remember Sister Pepper's book, that warrior picture. Glory. A man and woman of, that means we're ready to fight. We're ready to stand. We're ready to do. We're ready to march at the command of the Master. That's what that word virtue means. Hallelujah. Now that I'm saved, I've got to be ready to keep what I've got. Hallelujah. And now to my virtue, add knowledge. So now I'm saved through that saving grace of Jesus Christ. I'm ready to fight for my salvation, to keep it. Hallelujah. And I'm ready to add to what I know about God everything else there is to know. Knowledge. That's why you're in the house of God. That's why you come to Sunday school. Hallelujah. That's why you come to men and women's study night. Hallelujah. That's why we have special teaching on Proverbs and the wisdom of Proverbs. Hallelujah. So that we can now add to our salvation, add to our walk with God, more knowledge about God, how we can please Him. That's what Peter's saying. All right, you're saved now. You've received the precious promises of salvation. Now step up and fight for what you've got and gain some more. Woo, hallelujah. Gain some more. Get more knowledge of God. Hallelujah. And now to that knowledge, because sometimes knowledge puff it up. Now to that knowledge, add to that knowledge, temperance. Temperance. What's that mean? Just simply means control yourself. Just say no to the devil. Just say no to anything that's not going to be pleasing to God. Just say no. Call self-control. Oh, that's too hard. No, you're too lazy. Now you can ask this pepper. This is true. It's just something. Somehow how I was brought up, or my temperament or something. You know, when it's a new idea, it's a lot of work. Whew. I'm not the only one that's like that, because I remember Brother Larry Cisneros saying that same thing many times. Especially when we stepped in here and was fixing to do this ceiling. We just both there, stood there, looked up, and almost said it at the same time. Well, that's a lot of work. Hallelujah. But the work's done. Praise God. Woo! But what you will find is I may say that to start with, but when I roll up my sleeves and step into it, it's going to be done. It's going to be done. Hallelujah. And so we see then, we've got to step into this battle for the King. Hallelujah. And we have to add to knowledge our temperance, self-control. In other words, we don't want to give up. We don't want to give out. We don't want to quit. No. We want to step into the glory of our God. And so self-control is a vital part of your Christian life, because without it, you will not be able to be empowered by God. Because what self-control really is surrender to God. That's what self-control really is. It's not me having my way. It's God having His. That's what self-control is all about. And that's why temperance is basically the same word as surrender to God. And not giving the 101 reasons why I don't think I can do that. That's self-control in the wrong direction. That means you're wanting to be in control and not letting God have control. Woo! So the self-control or the temperance the Bible's talking about is surrendering to God's control. Praise God. And so now you realize we're adding this. This is math. See, math's in the Bible. And God's a God of multiplication. Right here, He's being kind to us, and He says, Just add. Because you can only take so much at one time. Hallelujah. Just add. Now to your temperance, add patience. Patience. See, we're gaining ground, aren't we? We're growing. Amen. We're being fruitful. Believe it or not, we are multiplying. Because when you add, you're really coming right up to multiplication. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Praise God. Hallelujah. So now add patience. What is patience? Patience is a little bit different, I believe, than what we really think it is. Because a lot of times what we call our lack of patience, which is hot-tempered. Not really a lack of patience, we're just hot-tempered that we haven't brought back control. Yeah. Because patience is something a little bit different. Because patience is cheerful. How many's ever felt cheerful in a lack of patience? Cheerful and or hopeful endurance. In other words, it goes along with long suffering. In other words, willing to keep working at it until it happens. That's what he's talking about here in this scripture. And so when you add to your temperance patience, so you're willing to continue to cheerfully endure the battle to get it accomplished. It means enduring, continuing, or waiting. They that wait upon God shall renew their strength. So in other words, what does that mean? We just sit down and do nothing? No, that just means we keep pressing forward. We keep pressing on. We keep praying. And we keep rejoicing in our salvation until God wrought a brand new work in us. Hallelujah. We keep fighting the fight. I mean, sometimes we are plotters, which means we just keep putting one foot in front of the other until God comes on the scene to strengthen us beyond measure. Hallelujah, to where we can now run. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, that's what it's talking about. So that cheerful endurance, in other words, just knowing that God is there and just continually pressing until he comes on the scene. Woo. Knowing that it's all going to be done according to God's will. Always said, good things come to those who wait. Sometimes this is just an excuse for my procrastination. But it has never failed. It's not. And so now, where'd we start? We started out with faith and the precious promises of God, and God wrought that work in us and helping us become a partaker of the divine nature, and now we're adding to that faith that soldier stance, that virtue. Ready to stand for God, ready to be a man and woman of valor, and to that virtue we're adding knowledge, so we just want to learn more and more about God and God's word and God's way. Hallelujah. And now we're adding to that knowledge temperance, which is God control instead of me being in control of my life, and then that cheerful endurance of continuing to press on until God reveals more. Hallelujah. Learning that whatever state I am, there to be with. And add to your patience godliness. Wow, that's just being born of God. And to your godliness, brotherly kindness. Wow. Anybody ever heard this terminology? Kill them with kindness. Somebody treating you bad? Kill them with kindness. It works every time. See, everybody expects anger. Everybody expects frustration, but they don't expect kindness. Nobody expects kindness. Oh, man. I mean, that goes right along there with love your enemy. Be kind to your enemy. Oh. This is awesome. It really is. brotherly kindness, then it says charity. You see, you're stepping up to a whole new level. Brotherly kindness is just being kind. And especially those of faith. But charity is being kind to everybody. Even the enemy. Even those that despise you. Even those that talk bad about you. Oh, wow. So we're moving to a level here now of Christianity. Oh, that a lot of folks have not added to their lives. A lot of folks just want to stop with faith and being saved. It don't stop there. If it stops there, it dies there. If that's to keep it alive. It's got to keep growing and keep going. That's why you just start living. Glory. And so now we come to that. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, that's what happens to those who just want to stay in faith. Then they just end up forgetting, really. Why did I do that? Why do I go to church? See, they become blind. They can't see afar off. They forgot about the sin God cleansed them from. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, hallelujah. That's where I want to be. How about you? Glory. So I've got to be willing then to let God have his way in my life in every way he reveals according to his word. Hallelujah. If I know it's wrong, it's wrong. Woo. Wow. Glory. Can I say that again? If I know it's wrong, it's wrong. Hallelujah. How am I going to get it right? Well, I'm going to have to draw nigh to God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to have to surrender to him. And I'm going to have his control in my life. Hallelujah. And you're going to realize and you're going to understand that as life progresses, there's going to be new things. You've got to give control to God. I've never been at this point in my life before. Now, I've already lived yesterday, and it's gone. But I've never been here where I am today. And so I've got to keep my relationship up to date for today. Hallelujah. And I've got to allow him to have control in my life today. At this day. Because yesterday's gone. Never more to be remembered again. I mean, you can remember it, but you can't live it over. You can't do it over. I mean, if you wanted to give $300 in the pie auction, it's too late. No, it's not. You can still do it. We'll take it today. Praise God. But you can't change the fact that you didn't do it yesterday. But you can change today. Woo! So just write that check to CLCA. Praise God. Hallelujah. To the Lamb. And so we see then, I mean, this is where it's at. He's the God of abundance, and if I will walk in that abundance and tap into that abundance and willfully give my life into that abundance, you shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's for us. He's not against us. Sometimes he looks down at us, and I'm sure if he looks at my life, he just shakes his head saying, what am I going to do with that boy? I think that's my mama did that too. What am I going to do with that boy? I think they broke the mold. simply means to super abound. You want to be a super Christian? Then let these things abound in your life. Just let them be there continually. Because you have to let them be there. You have to water them. Hallelujah. Victory, victory is mine. Hallelujah. Everything of the kingdom of God is there. And in an abundant supply. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. You're never going to run dry the vastness of the river of life. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And you can keep coming back to the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. To drink that water of life freely. Glory to God. But you're going to have to pick yourself up and get to the well of salvation. You're going to have to pick yourself up and go to the river of life. I mean, you ain't going to be able to set your lazy boy and just say, oh, I wish I had a drink of the river of life. You get up and you go to where the rivers flow. Maybe your closet of prayer in the house. I know it's right there around that altar in the house of God. That's where the wells of salvation flow. That's where the river of life flows. Hallelujah. It flows in this sanctuary when we lift our hearts with our hands. Hallelujah. And we begin to worship and we begin to praise that God of abundance, knowing that He has what I need. Hallelujah. And if I will receive what He has for me, then my need will be supplied. Hallelujah. And my life will be changed and it will be transformed, hallelujah, into the image of Christ. This is the work of the Holy Ghost of God. This is why we come to the house of God. This is why we preach. This is why we teach. This is why we sing. Amen. Hallelujah. This is why we testify. This is why we do everything that a child of God does, so that we can grow in the abundance. Hallelujah. Glory. I mean, you know, we might have an excuse if we didn't have such a God. There is no excuse. Who knows you? God says, I am the abundance of my abundance. I just got to be willing to change my mind. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, stubborn folks you have in here. I hope nobody raised your hand, but I'm going to have to raise mine, because, you know, sometimes I'm a little sad, you know. I know what I know, and I know what I believe, and you bring something that's a little different than that, you know, you're going to have a lot of proof to back it up. But I'm not against changing my mind. God does it all the time. But it takes somebody to change my mind. How about you? See, that's a good thing. Well, that means you've got your mind made up. Got your foot on the ground. Your mind made up. Sometimes when God comes knocking and says, here's something new in my word that you've never seen before, I want you some more. Woo! Yes, sir. I wish it was that easy and that swift. Oh, it should be, but most of the time it's not. But down here, God, this is really what you want me to do. God, oh God. Oh, is that just Brother Pepper? Is that just me? Oh God, oh God. Rest assured, God's talking to you. You don't have to fight God. Woo, hallelujah. You know, a lot of times when in doubt, it's God. Yeah, He wants to cast out all doubt, fear, and unbelief. Hallelujah. If you're doubting that it's God, it's probably God. Especially if it came out of here. Oh my. But I do. I know. I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It scared me to death. I thought the devil had jumped. I jumped on. I did. I really did, because I just didn't know any better at all. And I was at home and I was all by myself. And I had been praying and praying and praying. You know, you thought I'd been real smart because I've been praying so much and God filled me with the Holy Ghost that he answered my prayer. But no, that's not how it happened. Hey, I mean, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. He answered my prayer, but it scared me to death and I thought the devil had jumped on me. I jumped up from that chair. I'm looking around here like, convinced me that he showed me difference. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's amazing how long you can believe with the help of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize it's amazing how long you can listen with the help of the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Because, you know, that's the only thing that's going to push the CDs away. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm done. Can we have a good one? The God of abundance. Hallelujah. Everything you need. Say that with me. Everything I need. God has everything I need. And he willingly wants to give it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you willingly want it? Amen. Praise God. Stand with me then. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. You realize Jesus, everywhere he went, he was doing good. He was healing, performing miracles. Everywhere he went. Every now and then he can only do a few because of their unbelief. He couldn't do anything with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They wouldn't even give him the time of day. All those who came to him, he touched. Catch that. All those that came to him, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And anybody that just comes to him with a sincere heart and a desire to know him in a greater measure, he will touch. He will turn no one away. So thrill my soul as I look across this congregation this morning as the Spirit of God is touching hearts and touching lives, moving in a special way. And I saw visitors responding to God. And God is moving and revealing himself because they reached out to touch him. And he always will, because he's the God of abundance. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Glory to our God. God of heaven, we praise you. We thank you, God, for what you've already done in this service here tonight. God, we thank you for what you're doing right now. You are, Lord. You have the supply. Everything I need, Lord God, you have what I need. Oh, help me, Lord God, to allow you to work it in me, oh God. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we rejoice in our salvation and we rejoice in the addition, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, the work that you're continuing and changing and transforming and renewing and thriving, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King. Some have already come around the altar. Let's all come. find us a place to pray. Hallelujah. Oh, if you need a touch from heaven, then heaven's here to touch you tonight. If you need a touch from God, God's here to touch you tonight. Just let your request be made known unto God. Hallelujah. Just open up your heart. Just open up your mind. Let His word forever settle in your heart.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, come to the altar. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you hurt?